Om Shanti. Good morning. It's a very good morning for all of us. Today in our session, we have Baba's very lovely and precious jewel from Kiwiland. We have Dayal Kaka with us from New Zealand. And Dayal Kaka is in Gyan from last 41 years.
41 years, yes.
What do you think? Are you going to finish your half century?
Yes, I will, yes, sir.
He's a very humble and very easy nature brother. As much I know, now we are going to hear from Dayal Kaka. So, first of all, that normally in our institution, we call everyone as brother and sister. But why do they call you as Kaka, which means uncle?
Daddy Prakashmani gave me that title. Originally, Didi and Daddy both used to call me Dayal Bhai. But after some time, it's just a sign of maturity. When someone gets older and a little bit wiser, then their title changes. Because in the West, we have a practice of calling elderer by their surname, Mr. So-and-so. Like we never say, we'll call them by their Christian name. Because I got a Christian background, and in that we always say Mr. So-and-so. We never call them by their Christian name. So it's just a sign of respect, which Daddy has taught all of us.
So, how did you come in Gyan, and in which year?
I came into Gyan in 1976, when Dr. Nimala came to visit New Zealand, and when she came, she got invitation, because we never had any centre or anything like that, and we never heard of Brahma Kumaris there. So she came with the invitation of the Auckland Indian Association. And when she came to Auckland, she heard about Wellington as well. So she decided to come to Wellington. And when she came to Wellington, she had a program in the Indian Association Hall. Because in those days, we never had an Indian temple there. We just had a hall where we used to have a satsang, which means Gita Pathshala, every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. So she had a program there. And on the stage, she came, she gave a speech. And during her speech, the one thing that was missing in my life was the link about knowing what the soul was. So what she said is that if you want to know about what the soul is, I will give you a practical lesson on how to experience what the soul is. And that triggered my mind, because I read the Bible. And in the Bible, it's also mentioned about the soul, but how to experience the soul, what the soul is not mentioned. And that's what triggered me. And up till now, I only had one lesson. I never had completed my 7 lessons. So after doing my first lesson, Didi said that you are a teacher now.
So did you seek any guru in your life before Gyan?
Yes, we did have had one guru. When he came to New Zealand, that like, well, we were going to the Gita Pathshala in the satsang, one guru came. He was from New Delhi at that time. His name is Giri. And at the moment, he's still alive, and he's in Ghatkopar, near the, there's a bridge something there near Om Nivas. So he's there, still alive. So we had one guru.
So what mantra he gave to you? Do you remember that?
Actually, it was actually in Hindi, and I didn't know a single word in Hindi in those days. Never mind about Gujarati, I've forgotten Gujarati as well. So anyway, he gave us one little sentence to repeat, but the main aim of giving the sentence was that he whispered into my ears, and also Kaki's ear, was not to tell anybody, because that was a top secret. So anyway, the aim of giving the mantra was to earn the money.
So your first experience of Madhuban?
When we first came to Madhuban,
in
1977 we came here, and the experience was actually very good, very joyful. I came with one of the mothers from there. I wrote a letter to Dr. Nirvabai in those days, because we never had a center, so I typed, actually. I learned how to type a letter. And I've still got that letter, so I must bring that letter here one day anyway. And Nirvabai said, you're most welcome to come to Madhuban. So we made the booking, and in those days there was no direct flight to Ahmedabad. So we landed in Mumbai, and we flew from Mumbai to Ahmedabad, and then from there we came to Abu Road. And there at Abu Road, one brother, his name is Sitaram Bhai. Sitaram Bhai is the brother of one of the other Madhuban Niwasi brother who comes up here quite often. And he came on his push bike to receive us at the Abu Road railway station, because we didn't have much of a transport or facilities in those days. So on the push bike, we put his suitcase on. I carried one, and the sister carried one. We crossed the railway tracks. We went to Sangam Bhavan. And then the following morning, or no, at night time, that's right, he got us on the bus. So we came on the bus, and we got off at the main bus depot, and there one mother was there, only mother, on trolley, because in those days we'd never heard about taxis or ringing a panda above one. There was no system. So anyway, this old mother, that was the system in those days. She had a little push trolley by hand. She put all her luggage on there, and she asked us where we're going. And as soon as she saw the badge on us, she said, Brahma Kumaris. I said, yes, Brahma Kumaris. And my eyes just lit up, because I thought I was completely lost. It was total darkness, because in those days, even at the bus depot, there wasn't much light there. It's very dark. So anyway, she walked us all the way from depot, around this road here, back of the Char Bhuja, down the steps, and we came to the back gate. And in those days, the gates were very solid. We couldn't see inside. So we knock, knock, knock on the gate there, and one brother opened, and he says, oh, he asked me, where you come from? I don't know any Hindi, so I said, I'm from New Zealand. So he said, New Zealand, New Zealand. I went like that. So he said, come, come. So he took us in, and then he took us inside. And in those days, there was no accommodation arrangement or no nothing. He sent us to the Rajyoga Bhavan, because there's no other buildings in those days. So we went to Rajyoga Bhavan. And the experience I had there was that in the early days, the first thing we had to do was get your own hot water. No turning the tap on in the room to get the hot water. We had to go outside, and there was a geyser outside, which was a wood burner, and the hot water. So I think we got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I wind up and got a couple of water buckets of water, one for the elderly mother and one for myself. Went in the room there, shaved and got ready. And then from then onwards, we started learning the system of what the Amrit Vela and all that was, because before that, we didn't used to get up early in the morning.
So have you shared that your guru in your past life, before the Gyan, he's still alive? So did you went to visit him to give the Baba's knowledge?
Yes, I did meet him once there, because he did come to visit Wellington, and I did give him introduction of Baba. And at that time, he was singing Shiv Baba's song, Shiva. It was Hindi song. I can't quite remember the words, but it was a very famous film song. And he always used to have the satsang, and he used to sing that. Satyam Sivam Sundaram. That was the song he used to sing there.
Do you want to share your any experience with Didi or Dadi? Any was a memorable incident with Dadi or Didi?
Yes. The first such experience was that on the first day when Didi met me in the courtyard, Dadi and Didi, straight after class, they used to meet us. And I forget what month we were here, but it was very cold. And all I had was a white shirt on. And everybody had shawl and jersey and all that, and all wrapped up there. And I was slightly freezing in the morning there. So Didi noticed that I was a bit cold. So she called me over and she says, oh, a Pandi Lagra here. I didn't understand Hindi, so I said, a little bit. So I went like that. So she understood the meaning of that. And she took me inside the room there where Dadi and Didi's rooms are. And anyway, she got a brand new shawl for me. And she also gave me a jersey. And on the following morning, I remember, she called me and she gave me this golden ring. And that was the most memorable. And she also showed me how to wear the shawl because I never worn a shawl before.
So what you was doing in your lokik?
In my lokik, I was mechanical engineer. I was in the government department, which where we call it in India, they call it Public Works Department, PWD. And in New Zealand, we call it MOW, means Ministry of Works. So I've done a mechanical engineering. And also, while I was doing my engineering work, I was called up to do the compulsory military training. So I've done 8 years with the Royal New Zealand Military Unit with the engineers. So I've done 8 years. And during that 8 years, I wasn't doing the military training to kill anybody because my father told me to tell the officer that we don't believe in killing. We believe in non-violence. So they put me on the engineering unit, but I did all the training for self-defense purpose. And I used to go for helicopter rides and all that because the major there was in charge of the unit was also working for the Ministry of Works. So he used to get me to do the, instead of marching and doing all the normal foot slogging and all that sort of hard work, he used to take me on helicopter rides and journeys and do survey jobs.
From last two Sundays, Murali, Baba is speaking about the purity. So according to you, what is the purity? What is the definition of purity?
Purity means complete purity. Purity means just not celibacy, but following the footsteps of Prajapita Brahma. However Brahma Baba followed his life. So following the footsteps is not that, you know, one foot after the other. Was whatever or however Brahma Baba led his life. It's like a footstep. So second by second, we have to follow that. So complete brahmacharya means follow whatever Prajapita Brahma did, and that should be an imbibing purity, means just not in our action, but in our thoughts as well. We should not have any impurity, even in one single ounce of any percentage of impurity. So because if we have any impurity, then the vision that we see through a soul, then that will be reflected. So the 100 purity thought is there, and then when we look at another soul as complete pure, as whole 100%, then that vibration will reach other souls as well. So it's not just for ourselves, but how we can change the environment and how we can transform other souls as well. Because Baba says that through our purity, we've got to change the environment as well. Not just human beings, but the environment has to be. So that's how powerful our purity has to be.
So what do you think, up to what extent your level of purity has increased?
Well, I haven't got actual thermometer to measure that, but I'm hoping that I am sort of making progress day by day, which I'm sure in everybody's mind is the case. Every day we are making progress, because Baba says that we're supposed to keep a chart, daily chart. And when we write the daily chart, in that daily chart, the reason to write a chart is that it gives us realization. It's like a mirror. Chart is like a mirror. It gives us a reflection on how we are getting on. And I feel that I'm making good progress, especially this time, because in this season, I've done a little bit of cheating because I came twice.
So in whole day, how many times you drink tea and how much?
In the West, we have any time is tea time. That's our slogan. Any time is tea time. Like when we want to talk to somebody or when we want somebody to do a favor, we will say, let's talk over a cup of tea. So tea is my favorite thing, I'm afraid. But it's not that bad habit, but it's a way of life that I was brought up there. So Amrit Vela, I have one tea.
One means how much? One cup?
Oh.
One glass?
Well,
glass?
our cup is not like an Indian cup. Indian cup, when the sisters normally give us a center like that cup, and then I look at it and say, that's just one mouthful. And then I say to sister, a little bit bigger, and then she brings a little bit bigger. Then I say, no, a little bit bigger. So she says, oh, how much bigger do you want? I said, half a jug. She brings a half a jug for me, because in the West, we don't have cups. We have tea mugs, which are slightly bigger than our stainless steel containers that we have here. So anyway, it's not a bad habit. Even Brahmalava used to say, have a cup of tea at Amrit Vela, because having tea brings you alertness. So it's just not to form a bad habit, but to bring more alertness into life. So Amrit Vela is a tea. And then during breakfast I have a tea, because I take a bit of medication for my diabetes. And lunchtime, no tea at all. But afternoon, I have two large cups of tea, because I go for a walk, you see, so because I got a good digestive system, I trained it right from the beginning, so I can digest tea anytime.
So what's the secret of that good digestion system? Is that tea?
No, not tea. What I do is, in between, after breakfast, I have a light breakfast, and 1 hour after my breakfast, I try to eat raw vegetables. So in Madhuban, I always have cucumber and tomatoes. But in the West, we have what's called lettuce. Do we get lettuce here? Have you heard of lettuce? Lettuce is like green cabbage, but the leaves are much softer, and you use it for salad. So the more and more leafy, green, dark green leafy vegetables we eat, it works our digestive very well. And also we can lose our weight very easily.
What do you think about the changing part of Avyakta Bhav Dada?
It's inevitable. It's going to happen. So at the moment, and this is what I regard as awakening for the Brahma Kumaris. It's going to really awake us all us up, because sudden changes we've seen from right from the beginning, like suddenly Mamma left her body. And there was a lot of changes in the yajna. And then Baba left. Didi left the body. Dadi Prakashmani left. And these are the, what I mean is that during this process, all these are tests. And tests are getting more bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger for all of us. So the changes are better for us, really, because it's really going to waken us up. Because up till now, what I've noticed, and I also have been very much dependent on getting directions, but time will come that we'll have to start acting on our own, because we won't be able to get direction from souls. Direct, because Baba has already clarified that, is that our line of intellect should be so clean and clear. That's where the question you ask about the purity. Purity is connected with our intellect being clean and clear, wireless and viceless. And the more and more it is going to be wireless and viceless, the more and more catching and touching we're going to get from up above there. So we won't be able to depend on down here. Down here means physical health, because that is what we'll be depending on. And the more and more, it requires a long practice over a long period of time. It can't happen overnight. It's not something that we can pull out of bag. It's our own experience over a long period of time. And in that, we can't get help from anybody. It's our individual effort. And that's the reason why Baba has been saying about that one word, suddenly. Suddenly, it's going to really give us that awakening. And the sooner we wake up, the better it is for us, so that we won't get a shock. Otherwise, what happens if you wake somebody up suddenly? Irritation. They won't be ready. not prepared. That's why Baba said, don't have even sleep now. Just when you go to bed, consider yourself as having a rest. Say, I am giving, give body the order that I am giving this body the opportunity to take rest now. So while the body is taking rest, where is your mind going to be? Because anything happen during your sleep, so if your mind is up there, then you don't have to get touching and touching power because you're already up there. When you're up there, what's going to happen? You already got direct connection there. But if you sleep here, if you're sleeping, what's going to happen? Somebody's got to wake you up, don't they? Either you haven't got the consciousness, you haven't got the realization. So whenever you go to sleep, don't say sleep. I'm giving this body rest. So when you're resting, you're like a king, you're up there. And this is your instrument.
So what kind of practice or the preparation we have to do for all those test papers?
So all the test paper is going to be more and more severe now. First thing what's going to happen is material won't be available. Just like at the moment, like depression. You all heard of depression? During the wartime, we had First World War, Second World War. And in between those wars, we had what's called depression. Depression means things weren't available. We have to make do with whatever we have. Make do with whatever we have. And for that also, we got to have a practice over a long period of time. So try and do without. Try and live a life without. Just practice. Something that you like especially, do give up. Because that will be the test that will come at the end.
Do you want to give up your tea?
I will, yes, if I have to give up tea. But I can do that in a second, actually, because it just...
Just write it, really.
But there's going to be more severity, really. But what I'm trying to say is that things won't be available, because imagine, over here, I'm looking at the road here, because I've done a civil defense course, both with the government of New Zealand and in military. Civil defense says we only got the one road here, leading up and down. So supposing if the road gets blocked, things are available down below. It can't come up. So we have to do whatever we can. And I think in one Murali Baba has mentioned that when the time comes, he'll have to start planting seed in the ground to have self-survival. And that is how much preparation that we should have. That doesn't depend on things to come from down below here. We have a little bit of land. We got to prepare seed. Dadi has said that we normally keep stock for 3 months, or 6 months now, I think. They've increased it now. First it was 3 months, then Dadi said 6 months. So we do have stock of 6 months. But in one of the Murali Baba has said that there are a lot of government, even officials, and a lot of people, they keep lots of big godam, big storage spaces. But what happens is that all the ants and all the insects gets into it, and they get of no use whatsoever. It's useless. So what we have to do is prepare for the real end time. Even we got stock here for 6 months, don't depend on that 6 months. We'll say that, oh, we got enough here for 6 months. No. Keep that stock ready there, but start preparing the seed in the ground. So make sure that we have got a certain amount of practice to how to plant the seed, how to cultivate, and how to produce from the seed naturally. So time will come. It's not very far away where we'll have to start doing that. How many of you know how to plow land? Have you used plow before? Plow, you know.
I never did, but I know how to do.
If time came today, out of this room, how many can actually go into the field and how to work the field, say? You can do it. None of you said practice? You practice, good. Yeah. I was born in the village in childhood days, so I knew how to do all that there. So that's how the preparation should be. And I think we should start practicing a little bit here too. I see a little bit of open ground. I always look at it, but I'm going to start bringing seed from New Zealand. The cucumber and tomato I'm going to start with. મારું જન્મ બચપનથી સિમ્પલ થા કાકી કા બચપન સે જન્મ એસા થા.
સો શી હર ક્વેશ્ચન ઇઝ હાઉ યુ કીપ ધ બેલેન્સ, હાઉ યુ મેનેજ વિથ હર.
I don't have any problem with that at all. No, I don't see her as fashionable. No, I see her as a BK. No, I don't interfere. She doesn't interfere with my life. I don't interfere with her life. Though we are wife and husband or partners, we always had our independency. Or in the West we call privacy. Her privacy is with her, my privacy is with me. And in between, it's Baba.
So,
yeah, it's always like that. Yeah, Queen. That's why they say in the West it's Mr. and Mrs. first, but here we say Lakshmi and Narayan.
So, according to the time, what's your current effort?
Current effort is to go to more into subtlety. More and more subtle we are, more and more we will be able to imbibe knowledge. It's most important that while we are gross, I mean in the physical consciousness, we come into the interference with the nature. So what we've got to do is go beyond the time and beyond the effect of this physical body. And then more and more we go beyond the consciousness of the physical body and the time. Instead of aging, we reverse our aging. So we don't come into the effect of time. So in the Muli Baba always says, go beyond your body consciousness. And whilst we are beyond body consciousness, instead of aging or losing time, we actually gain time. Gain time. Gain means we deposit our time. So for future, our time is always there for us. So we don't get left behind. We are always ahead of time.
We are ending our session now. And on behalf of everyone, lot of thanks to Dayal Kaka for sharing his maturity with us. Om Shanti.
Good, thank you. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to come over and share with you. And it's been a great pleasure meeting all of you. Om Shanti.